I wonder what you think of when you think of church. I wonder what you think of. Do you think about buildings or basketball stadiums? Do you think of certain people? Do you think of the social stuff? Do you think of the relational stuff? Do you think of the spiritual stuff? Does it make you think about responsibility? Does it make you think about pressure? Does it make you think about pleasure and joy and worship? The Bible gives us various pictures to help us understand church better. The body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Just going to ask Steve to put the vineyard man up for a moment. He's quite square, isn't he? The vineyard man. Peter Downs came a little while back and did some teaching specifically on this, how that looking at various biblical pictures, with Jesus Christ as the head, with the Bible as our foundation, with the elements of teaching and training that we read about in the letters and in the Gospels, with the element of hospital, kingdom-bringing healing and wholeness, the elements of family as we share our lives together, as we think about all of the each other's in the Bible and the one another's, and the elements of army as we think about Ephesians 6 and lovely vineyard phrase, doing the stuff, actually getting out there and doing it. So Noel talked about the fact that I use that phrase, God's timeless word and God's today word, and I do that for a reason, to separate them as well as seeing how they work together. So God's timeless word helps us to understand who we are, but sometimes God gives his today word as well, in a way that helps us to especially grasp hold of things at this time in the life of the church. I think we're all right with that one now. Thanks, Steve. And that's what I believe that he's done during the last few days. Now, preaching from some sort of revelation rather than scripture per se is always more difficult. I'm much more comfortable with a passage of scripture, and you should be, because that's the Bible foundation. However, you do not and should not quench the Spirit or despise God's word to us today. And so I'm going to try and put those two things together now with God's today word. Now, not this Friday, but last Friday, I had a dream, and as I was coming out of sleep, the sense of God speaking to me. This happens more frequently now than I get pictures, which shows I'm becoming an old man. I'm still in the phase of middle age where I get both dreams and visions, and when those pictures go, I know that's it. So, coming out of sleep, and this dream had actually featured the Andrew Center. And then as I came out of it, God said these words to me, "It's base camp. It's base camp." Now, that means I'm going to stay awake now. We're in the middle of the night, and I need to know what's going on. And so I'm saying, "What's base camp, Lord? The Andrew Center is base camp." No, church is base camp. That was a relief, wasn't it, Amanda? Just going off. And so I'm saying, Lord, what do you mean by that? And over the course of the next few hours, and then during the week, it began to show me what he meant. And he gave me some pictures, which I will then share with you now. The first was of people climbing a mountain. Base camp is the place that you set up at the foot of the mountain, or into the foothills before that final ascent, where you rest and you're refreshed and you get warm and you get fed, where you meet with your guides for instruction on how to climb wisely and well, where you ensure that you've got the right resources. Base camp is where you get acclimatized to higher ground, ready for the next segment of the climb. Base camp is where you tell your stories and you forge your friendships with climbing companions. Listen to what Paul says in that famous passage in Philippians where he says, I consider everything else rubbish for the sake of Jesus and knowing his resurrection power and actually understanding something of his crucifixion too. He says, not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it yet, brothers, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And then he goes on to say, the way we live is not the way that the world lives. He says, others live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their minds on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And that gives us a sense of it. Now, some of those pictures are to do with more like Olympic pictures. Some of them are to do with citizenship. We at the moment are applying for citizenship. We want to be citizens of Australia, but our main passport is heaven. There's a sense in which church is like base camp of climbing a mountain. We're looking to climb higher. We have an eternal destination. We want to become mature in faith. We want to be growing as disciples, not satisfied, pressing on, ultimately looking to our citizenship in heaven. And church is base camp for that. We get resources, we get guidance, we get refreshment as we meet together with God. We learn to climb higher in faith, be ready for the next part of the climb. That was the first picture. And the second picture was that of fighting a battle. Base camp is where you prepare for the battle, where you meet together with fellow soldiers, where you get your battle plans and your strategies, where you prepare your weapons, where you tell your stories of victories won. Base camp is where you come to get the wounds from the battle treated. It's where you come to rest and be refreshed to fight another day. There's a sense in which church is like that too. We read in Ephesians 6 about standing strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, verse 10, and about putting on the full armor of God because we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We learn that the battle is about standing firm. Standing firm in faith. We learn that we pray in the Spirit. We learn that we pray for each other, for all the saints. Base camp is where the sword of the Spirit is unsheathed, where the belt of truth is buckled firmly again, where the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation are readjusted when they need to be. It's where we get ready and prepared with the gospel of peace that we take out, with our hearts protected once more by righteousness. Because we've been out in the battle, and the stuff that's been spoken into our lives isn't about righteousness, much of the time. Where we're equipped and resourced to stand firm in our faith. Where we can find healing and restoration when we've fallen and been wounded. And then there was a third picture, and that was going on an expedition. Imagine safari. We've been reading about some spectacular expeditions in early Australia of people's bravery only stood in the way of by their stupidity, really. Fascinating. And base camp with expedition and safari is where you prepare for adventure, for sights and places you've never seen before. It's away from the rest of the world, and these places are too far to travel from civilization, and so you set up base camp. It's a place from which you get to see and do stuff most people can only dream about. where you get information and instruction and motivation so you can get the very best from your travels, where you return to marvel at what you've seen and done, to restock on supplies and maybe plan the next adventure. And there's a sense in which the church is like that too. In Acts chapter 13, we read in verse 1, in the church of Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. In the middle of base camp, there's a prophetic word because the people of God are listening. And as a result of that word, two guys are sent off on some of the most spectacular adventures the world has ever seen, causing more change to this world, maybe than anyone else other than Jesus himself. They impacted our world in ways beyond measuring. And for some folk, Karen, Sharon, Liz at the moment, Ken with impact, this is base camp. This is base camp. Some of us are in the adventure and mission field that's our life and work. Some have those special callings in our new responsibilities in this church, in our jobs and calling beyond the church. It's base camp. It's a prayer and love base. It's a base that by the Holy Spirit brings gifts and call, anointing and appointing. And did you notice how it happened? The church met, they prayed, they listened to God, God spoke and sent, they went. That's exciting, isn't it? What normally happens is people go, oh, I don't fancy that. Or I do fancy that, I want you to support me. The way it happens is that God speaks to the church and speaks into individual lives and sends them out. And they say yes, because it's an adventure. And then you'll see throughout Acts them returning, putting things in perspective, sharing what God's been doing, sharing resources. So as I listen to those words, it's base camp, and as God gave me those pictures, I was saying, Lord, what is it you're trying to tell me? And the sense was of God wanting us to get a better grasp of what church is and what church isn't. Over the years, you will see in people probably two major tendencies in the way they view church. The first is that when they look at church, they see it as everything. Church is it. Church is it. And the second strand is that it's optional. Me and God is it. The one defines their walk in terms of what's happening in their local fellowship. If that's good, I'm good. The other sees their walk of faith as largely individual, connecting to the church when their personal responses and decisions take them in that direction, not doing it when it doesn't. Now, the one way of looking at things is too dependent. The other is too independent. When God is looking for us to be interdependent. So the first thing to say is this. Base camp isn't it. I want you to imagine. My brother who climbed Kilimanjaro. He heads off. We've sent him away with our blessings and our prayers. He comes back 3 weeks later. He's full of excitement. He gets the photos out, and they're just photos of base camp. I want you to imagine the soldier heading off to Iraq, and he goes with our love and our prayers. And all we come back with is pictures of some tents where he's been staying. Someone who's going to safari in Africa and all you see is the cabin. You just go, what? You've been all the way out there, and all you've done is base camp. Base camp isn't it. And if you settle for that, you've missed the point. Base camp is the place from which you move out, equipped for mountains and battles and adventures. Base camp's where you find companions on the journey, where you come back to report and refuel and head out again. And that's the way that many are with church. Some go, church is great. I love the worship and the teaching and the ministry. You should come too. It's exciting. It's the answer to your problems. It's it. And others go, my church just isn't fulfilling me at the moment. I can't get into the worship. I've got relational struggles. Teaching doesn't hit the mark for me. Church should be it, but it isn't. Paul, when he's writing in Ephesians, it's a passage, the context is about unity and the gifts in the church working together. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, he says this, it is he, God, who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. You're going, oh, this is good, this is a picture of the church, this is the church, this is where I come, this is where I come, it's it. To prepare God's people for works of service. Hang on. Didn't sign up to that one. Church is base camp where we connect with fellow soldiers and climbers and adventurers, where we get equipped, prepared for the mountain, the battle, the expedition, which helps us to grow and develop and mature and helps the church and the kingdom grow. The reason why people are missing out, the reason why people are unfulfilled in the church, the reason why churches aren't impacting their communities is in part because we don't get this. That our Christian journey and destiny is so much more than Sunday, so much more than little church or home groups. That in one sense, the adventure begins when we leave. When we put the stuff in practice, when we live out our calling, when we claim those promises, when we believe those truths, when we obey those commands. For us to become who and what we're designed to be, some of us need to do church, to view church in a different way, to ask different questions as to what's going on. What's going on today? What's going on today? What is God equipping me for? What guidance have I been given? How does that affect the way I climb, the way I fight, the way I set out for adventures? It's base camp today. Where do I go from here? Where do I take it? What do I do with it? I'll give you a pause to think about that for a moment before we move on to the next bit. Base camp isn't it. Secondly, base camp is essential. It's essential. I mentioned my brother climbing. And he took a lot of time to talk to the guides who had a lot of wisdom. They climbed many mountains many times. And he said that one of the great fears is altitude sickness. Because altitude sickness can kill you in under 5 minutes. And he saw it actually in action. They were heading up to the mountain. They were probably only less than a 500, I was going to say kilometers, 500 meters from the top. And suddenly one guy just started to sway. Immediately the guide came, grabbed him, and ran him down the mountain as fast as he could. If he hadn't have done it, he'd have died then and there. And that got John talking some more to the guides, and he said, you don't hear of too many deaths on Kilimanjaro. He said, no, you hear about the spectacular ones, but every year, loads of people die because they're stupid. They die because they don't want to do it with anyone else. They die because they don't listen to the guides. They die because they're only 500 meters from the top and they get altitude sickness and they won't come down. Some of them die because they don't have the right equipment. Because there's always a man who knows better, isn't there? It's always the men, by the way. But they don't think it's going to be cold. When we flew to, I think it was Sydney a while back, I was sitting next to a soldier on the aeroplane. He was an interesting character. He got one more tour of duty in Iraq to go, and then he was going to be kind of signed off and he'd get the desk job and the pension. And we talked a bit about that situation and the bonds that you make in battle. And he said, you know, the thing I've learned being in the army is it doesn't matter how brilliant people are, it doesn't matter how gifted they are, it doesn't matter how brave they are, you can't work with people who aren't team players. He said it doesn't matter if they're the most gifted soldier tactically in the world, if they can't be trusted to follow instructions, if they can't be trusted to act for the battalion, there's no point having them. He said, and curiously enough, they don't usually make very good friends either. There's room in the church for bold adventures in faith, but not for mavericks. Not for people who are outside authority and direction and correction. Base camp's essential. It's climbers and adventurers and soldiers who try to go it alone who are immensely vulnerable. Because not only do they end up dying or injured, but they end up taking huge resources, getting them out of the messes they've got themselves into. Or one-man bands who want everyone to march to their tune. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, Paul says this, "Now you're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church of God, God's appointed, first of all," here's a list again, similar one, "apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?" What's the answer to that? People aren't sure of that one, actually. And it's worth just unpacking that for a moment. I'll come back to it in a second. Two of the greatest problems in Christian lives are caused by false belief and false understanding. And in part, they come from the influence of our selfish, individualistic society. And here they are. It's those who are married and don't believe or understand that they are one flesh. And it's those who are part of the church and don't believe or understand that they're part of one body. They are two of the most immense problems in the life of our world today. If we got that here, we would be revolutionized. Base camp isn't it, but base camp is vital. Because there are gifts and resources that we need and that we provide. Can everyone do everything? Paul's saying, no, we need each other. You say, hang on a minute, isn't every gift available to us? Isn't every gift possible? Haven't I read that somewhere? Well, yes, you have. But God designed the church so that we cannot function alone. If you're in a situation where you need every single gift, that's different. But you're not. God designed the church so that we cannot function alone. So that we always look to the head of the body and function supernaturally, not naturally. So we always look to each other and function relationally, not individually. That's the way he's made church to work. Now here's the bad news, folks. It doesn't work properly any other way. And there isn't any other way around it. We're stuffed. We've got to do it together. It's the only way it works. It's designed to take the focus off self and off pride and onto loving and serving God and others. And that took me on to the next bit. Here we are. Base camp isn't it, but base camp is vital. And then God said, spoke specifically about what should happen at base camp. Now, there's lots of things that we know should happen at base camp. But in terms of what we receive and give and what we're equipped with, and he said, it's about grace and mercy. Giving and receiving grace and mercy. Mercy, not getting what we do deserve. Grace, getting what we don't deserve in a hugely positive way. We come to a place where we're forgiven instead of judged and condemned. Where we're loved instead of rejected. Where joy and peace and power are poured out on us. Where gifts are given to us. Where there's encouragement and hope and comfort. I hope we do. I pray we do. Base camp is the place where we receive grace and mercy from God and each other, where we're equipped with grace and mercy, and we take that grace and mercy out into the mountains, out into the battle, out on our adventures. Because so much of what we're called to do is to bring God's grace and mercy into those places. We are agents of grace and mercy. I'm an agent. Not a secret agent. I know what I should be doing, and everyone else should know too. We can't share what we haven't received or understood. We go out and we don't give people what they deserve. And then we give them what they don't deserve in the name of Jesus, because he's done that for us. We share, encourage, we love, we pray, we give, we support. We're agents of God's loving kindness that leads people to repentance. Base camp has equipped us for this, and we can share out of what we've been given. I wonder if, with church, we've treated what is essential as being an optional extra. Whether we've believed the lie that we don't need each other. Maybe it's time to think of base camp in a completely different way. Now, there was a loose end for me, and there's probably a loose end for you as well. You're thinking, what's anything got to do with the Andrew Center? Do you remember that? Right at the start. So I came back to that. Some of you had forgotten it. I didn't even need to mention it. I could have got away with it. I said, Lord, where does the Andrew Center fit into this? And God was saying, it's an example of what I mean. So for Judy, I've got permission to share this because I've talked to Judy already. Well, when I say I've got permission, I told her I was going to do it. For Judy and for others, the Andrew Center is part of their mountain and their battle and their adventure. It's a place where grace and mercy is extended to others with practical care and encouragement and counsel and prayer and sharing Jesus. Prayer for healing, prayer for deliverance, prayer for comfort and strength. It's people giving out of what they've received from Jesus and seeing God's loving kindness lead others to him. And what happens on Sundays and in their little church, learning, worshipping, fellowship, receiving from God, their base camp for Judy, but not all there is. If she just did that and then sat on the bottom for the rest of the week and said, well, that's it, I've got it, she'd be completely wrong. But she doesn't. She gets stuck in at the Andrew Center, where great things happen and God is at work. But that's not base camp. And it would be wrong for Judy to be a lone ranger who made decisions on her own. It would be wrong for Judy only to think in terms of how everything applies to her work there. Because base camp gives her the foundation and the resources. Base camp is where she receives grace and mercy so she can give of what she's received. Base camp is where God can speak through the body and inform the how and the who and the where and the when. Base camp is the place from where others can climb and fight and journey with her. She can come back with stories that encourage and inspire and instruct, feeding back into the body, helping equip others. It's the same with Ken and Impact. Impact is an amazing part of his mountain and his battle and what was the other thing? his adventure. But it's not it. It's not it. And for those who are involved in impact, the two things are both vital. That's the essence today of what I believe God wanted to say to us about his church here. Just a different picture to help us to see church in a different way. And those questions: have you been living as if base camp is it? What is it that you're being equipped for? What important guidance and direction is God giving you? He brings his word this morning to us. He brings those words in the middle. What are they for? How do they apply to you? What are you going to do with them on your adventure, on your climb, in your battle? Have you been living as if base camp is an optional extra? I come if I feel like it. I engage with people if I feel like it. I mean, there's me and God, and we're good. Where has your walk of faith been selfish and individualistic? Where are you vulnerable without traveling companions and guides and resources? Where are you holding out on others that need that from you? Where do you need to receive grace and mercy so you can extend it to others? Ask God to show you what this word means for you, how you need to respond to it. Do it as part of the body. Ask for help. Share the journey. We are the church, aren't we? We're the church with that picture of the body and the army. And there's a sense in which we are called to be base camp for each other. Aren't we? And are we? Are we base camp for each other? We come to base camp. We come to each other because that's part of how we're equipped. Do we come to each other? Do we? Jesus is the leader of base camp. The Holy Spirit's our guide. But we need each other. Do we live like that? Do we live like that? That's the way God wants us to live, because that's how we'll be equipped to climb higher, to stand firm in the fight, to have more and more adventures. In a moment, we're going to worship together, and as always, we make opportunity for those who want to pray. If you've been maybe touched by the word today, or you just need some resources for the adventure of the week to come, then if you head out towards there at the end, then folk will come and be delighted to pray with you. We're going to pray together, then we're going to worship. And just ask, please, take that away with you. Reflect on it. Ask God what he wants to say to you through it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that you keep on loving us. You keep on speaking to us. You never let us go. And pray, Lord, that that word, which I believe you intended to give us a right perspective, will do its work as we open our hearts to all that you have to bring. And pray, Lord, that as a result of it, that we will be able to climb higher. We will be able to stand firm in the fight. And there will be adventures for us of faith. And there'll be things that we get to see that we've never seen before and maybe never even thought possible because of you. In Jesus' name, amen.